16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Then I'm turning, you don't have to turn, but in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6, at verse 5 and following, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." I'm speaking today for a few moments on the subject of rediscovering the old. Last time we talked about the subject of worship, and today I'd like to talk about the subject of prayer. First of all, I want to share this with you from the ministry of Percy Ray, the great preacher. Percy Ray, he had a prayer band. He had people who prayed for him wherever he went. And to be a member of his prayer band, he wrote out a number of requirements, including these. You had to be saved, of course, and be in good standing in a Baptist church and pay your tithes. Abstain from alcohol. No member could be a slanderer or gossiper or dishonest or untrue. Pray at least an hour a day. Pray for him, his meetings, the salvation of souls, for more lives to be surrendered, for great spiritual power on Brother Percy and his revival meetings. I like that. Not just any body could be on the prayer band. You had to meet these qualifications, and we know that according to God's word that there are a number of conditions to answered prayer, aren't there? If you don't pray in faith, for example, your praying is in vain. If you pray with sin in your heart, it's in vain. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. So there are conditions to answered prayer. And maybe we'll mention a few more of those in a little bit. But I want to contrast to you this new kind of praying. Hope you don't know anything about it. But there's always a counterfeit. The devil's always got a counterfeit, doesn't he? Right. There are counterfeit Bibles. There's the real Bible, and there are hundreds of counterfeits. There's the real church, and hundreds of counterfeits. There's real salvation, and hundreds of counterfeits. There are real preachers, and hundreds of counterfeits. There's real worship, and hundreds of counterfeits. There's real praying, and hundreds of counterfeits. And I want to talk to you about that subject in particular today, as we endeavor, by God's help, to rediscover some things. We've lost some things. If you ask the average young person today, I'm afraid, many of them, tell me about the old paths. They're not going to know much to say. They're not going to know much by experience anyway. And you need to know these things, not just by example, but by your own experience. Amen? I'm glad you can say, "Oh, I knew so-and-so." But how much better to be able to say, "It's in my own heart. It's in my own life. I practice it myself." The day comes when you've got to stand on your own two feet. Amen. And you can't just go on mama's religion or daddy's coattail. You got to have it in your own heart. Believe it because the Bible says it, not just because your denomination says it, or because anybody else says it. We've got to get to the point where we're strong enough and wise enough to stand on our Bible-based convictions and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we need to rediscover some things, don't we? The Bible calls it the old paths. And we need to return in worship and in prayer. And maybe next week we'll talk about the most important thing of all, and that's in teaching and in preaching. But we have lived to see a lot of amazing things develop before our eyes in the religious world, in the so-called Christian world. And if you put it all together like the pieces of a puzzle, you'll see what's happening is the devil is preparing the way for the Antichrist. If Jesus comes tonight and the Antichrist steps on the scene on Thursday, the world is ready, the political world is ready, the commercial world is ready, the religious world is ready already for the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to say he's God. And the most popular movement in our world tonight, above all else, is the movement that says, I'm God, you're God. The Catholic Church says, you can be God. The Mormon Church says, you can be God. The whole charismatic, signs and wonders, miracle movement says, you can be God. Folks, that's a lie as old as the Garden of Eden, where the devil said to Eve, ye shall be as gods. Let me tell you, if you don't already know, you'll never be God. Take your place as a helpless, lost, undone sinner, and you can be saved and be a Christian, but you'll never be God. But that appeals to people's flesh and ego, and that's the big thing happening right now. Well, the modern substitutes for prayer, one of them is vain repetition. Vain repetition. And I read to you from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus Christ plainly said, do not use vain repetition when you pray. That means just saying the same words over and over and over and over and over, to the point where you can pray and think about something else at the same time. And the new way of praying is just vain repetition, mantra, a little bit of New Age, a little bit of Hinduism, mixed in some Roman Catholic desert fathers. Schuller said, when you pray, just say, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. Folks, it becomes ridiculous real quick. But that's the new way, vain repetition. Let me jump ahead of myself and say, we need to rediscover some old-fashioned, a heartfelt Bible praying. I'd take my grandma's praying over the whole shebang. Amen. A lot of people don't know how to pray today. Do you know that? They don't know where to start. Don't know how to pray. They know how to worry, but they don't know how to pray. Well, this new kind of praying is about prayer station. It's about touch and smell and incense and ropes and statues and trances and incense. I said that. And hypnosis. It very much appeals to the senses. This new kind. A recent conference for Christian leaders, 7,000 Christian leaders present. They were taught how to use occult practices when they pray, and to visualize and to imagine in your mind Jesus coming to you and speaking to you, not just in a dream or a fantasy, but being told Jesus actually comes off his throne and comes to you as you visualize and you contemplate. I hope you've never seen The Shack or read Jesus Calling. That's what I'm talking about. It's mysticism. It's paganism. Of course, the last 60 years and of the charismatic movement, the signs and wonders, Jesus told us in the last days there'd be an emphasis on miracles, signs and wonders. They call their movement signs and wonders. And the Bible calls it signs and wonders. Matthew 24. You'd think they would at least know not to call their movement what the Bible calls it. But they don't have any more sense than that. Folks, if you could turn on your religious TV, they're going to talk about your miracles. They're going to talk about your healing. They're going to want to send you a prayer cloth. They're going to want you to sell your... They want your money. Now, when you get sick and you're in the hospital, they're not coming to you. They don't want to know you. They just want your money. Is that right? Absolutely. So we've seen the miracles movement come in. Tongues, women preachers, mind control, positive confession, Caps and Copeland and Hen and all those. Blab it and grab it. Name it and claim it. Sorcery. I'm talking about the new kind of praying. The devil wants to get us all tripped up and all wondering how to pray or what to pray, and mantras, and just saying things over and over and over. Chuck Colson, and you remember when Bill Bright, Chuck Colson, Pat Robertson, J.I. Packer, a lot of those guys got together not just a few years ago and said, you know what, we're going to quit giving the gospel to the Catholics because they're already saved, and signed an agreement and basically said we don't care about those hundreds of millions of people in the cult of Mary, praying to Mary, trusting in the rosary, the mass, the Pope, and all that. We'll just say we're all one. It doesn't matter what you believe. Just be sincere. Mother Teresa said, pray to Mary, pray to your guru, pray to whoever you want to. Just have it. Folks, we're living in a day of unbelievable confusion in the message. The worst, you might as well, as Victoria Osteen will say today, as she stands in front of the largest church in America, she'll say, we're here to rock again. My soul, we are not here to rock. You see, you're upset. I'm upset, my soul, for what passes for Christianity today. I'm just from the old school. Leave me alone. Amen. This new praying is parrot-like and irreverent and tells God what to do and orders God around. Very blasphemous at times. By the way, these guys don't even preach the gospel. You say, well, at least people are getting saved. No, they're not. No, they're not getting saved. Benny Hinn don't even know who Jesus is. How can you get saved if you don't even know who Jesus is? You know how cruel it is in these so-called healing services? You know how cruel that is? You get a little family together. I could call names. This little family got together, and the boy was deaf, and the faith healer said, if we'll all just pray and believe hard enough, he'll get healed. God will heal him. And they all prayed and believed as hard as they could. Nothing happened. And the faith healer said, well, one of you didn't believe hard enough. And that poor lady, to this day, 50 years later, blames herself for her brother being deaf because she didn't believe hard enough. Let me tell you something. That's wicked. That's cruel. That's cruel. God can heal you if He wants to, but He never promised to heal you until the resurrection. Amen. Don't you take a Bible promise and twist it, or take something in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel and apply it to you. You are a New Testament Christian. You are not a Jew. That'll help you. Somebody tell the Seventh-day Adventist that. Amen. Well, I'm trying to help us today to rediscover the old. We need some Bible praying. God didn't make it complicated, but religion sure makes it complicated. Bible praying is praying from your heart. Not just repeating certain words or phrases over and over. You know, when they're trying to make them talk in tongues, they tell them to repeat certain phrases over. Let your mind go. Let your tongue go. And it becomes ridiculous
very quickly, doesn't it? If you know anybody who's been down that dark road, you know what I'm talking about. Bible praying. It's a sign of new life. You remember when you got saved? Nobody had to set you down one day and say, now you need to start praying. No, the Holy Ghost in you said to you, you need to start praying. You start praying over food, didn't you? You start praying for people to be saved by name. Your prayers were not fancy, and they probably are not still very fancy. But you know to pray, to ask God to help you with your temptations and your problems, and pray about everything. Folks, that's how you know you got saved. That's what God said to Ananias. Go find Brother Saul. He just got saved. And behold, he prayeth. It just comes with being saved. When Ralph Sexton got saved, none of his family went to church. The Lord said to him, now when you have supper tonight, you tell them all, you're going to ask a blessing before the meal tonight. You can imagine how hard that is if there'd never been a prayer in that family before, ever. But he told them, folks, I got saved and we've acted like heathen around here and we're going to pray from now on before we eat our food. They laughed for a while, but after a while, they all sat down and looked at him. Amen. That's how you know you got saved. You want to pray. Can't you read the Bible and see illustration after illustration? If you want something to help your prayer life, read your Bible and see how God answered prayer of Abraham and Hannah and on and Peter and Paul, and read the prayers of the Bible. Read how Paul prayed for the churches and David's prayers in the Psalms, and it'll help your prayer life to read the Bible. Amen. I still pray back to the Lord many Bible prayers. They seem just to say what's in my heart. I'm sure you feel the same way. You say, Wendy, you're supposed to pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. That means never quit. Always an attitude of prayer. Every place, every time. Some people say, should you close your eyes? Not if you're driving. It doesn't matter if you're kneeling, standing, or driving, or one man said, I did my best praying. When I fell in the well, upside down, you'll do some praying. Don't worry about the outward. Worry about the inward. Make sure it's from your heart. That's what matters. Pray about everything. Pray all the time. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. So every time is fitting. The Lord commands us to pray, invites us to pray, almost begs us to pray in this book, doesn't he? We've missed so much. Call unto me, I'll answer thee. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. That's Jesus. Open your mouth wide, I'll fill it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Find grace to help in your time. Over and over again, God's inviting us to pray, begging us to pray. What a privilege. They told Mays Jackson there was no God, no need to pray when he went to university. He was not a Christian at the time. He said, I raised my hand and said to the professor, he said, I don't know all about this. I'm not even a Christian myself. He said, but my mama prays. He said, when we're out of food, mama goes back there to the woodshed and prays for a couple hours, and I don't know how to explain this. He said, but we've never missed a meal. Something happens. Somebody gets in touch with somebody. Amen. Somebody brings a load of food to our house. He said, don't tell me that God doesn't answer prayer. Amen. Let me just tell you, in 2021, in this deep, dark air of apostasy, God still answers prayer. He said, prove me now. Give me a chance. Amen. See what God will do. Pray your way through. Pray your way through. Do you know how important and how big prayer is? The whole Trinity's involved. You're praying to God the Father, through God the Holy Ghost, in the name of God the Son, through you. Amen. That's four right there. Amen. That's big, isn't it? The whole Trinity's involved when we pray. You say, I don't pray much. Well, I can tell you what kind of Christian you are. You know, you just told me. I don't have to know anything else. You're probably a football for the devil to kick around, ain't you? You don't pray, don't read your Bible. How could you make it if you didn't eat food? If you did not sustain and maintain your physical health? How are you going to make it if you don't feed the new man? If you don't feed your soul every day? There's no way to thrive and survive if you don't feed that new man. I would be afraid. I do not ever, ever remember a day that I dared to step my foot outside the door that I had not committed the day to God and said, Lord, I need you again today. You say, I've been saved 50 years. Well, you need to pray twice as much as anybody else, because the devil's after you. Because if you mess up, you'll take somebody down with you. It don't get no easier. Sorry to have to tell you that, but it don't get no easier. You know that, don't you? I hope you didn't think it would. Because if we mess up in the last inning, then we put a cloud over everything we ever did. So we need all the praying we can get. You say, I don't know what to pray for. Don't just pray for you. You got a family? Name them. Amen. Pray for your church every day. We all need it. Pray for missionaries. Pray for the lost. Pray for our military. Pray for our leaders. We've got the Are you ready? We've got the sorriest leaders on all levels right now in the history of the universe. Because of their liberal anti-Christian stand on the family and the church and religious freedom. That's the truth, like it, lump it. So they need Jesus. You pray for them. Send them a gospel tract. Send them a Bible. Run for something. We'll vote for you. Amen. You say politics is dirty. I know, that's because there ain't no Christians in there. You say, I don't think Christians ought to get involved in politics. Tell Daniel and Joseph that. President Daniel and Governor Joseph. Tell them Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. So there's plenty to pray for. Amen. Do you know what it means to somebody when you say, I've been praying for you, and you really mean it? Do you know it's hard to hate somebody that you've been praying for? If you're having trouble loving somebody, just call out their name every day. God will soften your heart towards them. Amen. And I know there's somebody in your life, somewhere along the way, that you need a little help. Amen. You need a little help loving them like you should. Pray for them. Matthew 5. So, it's not a waste of time. Not a waste of time. Well, I'm going to finish here in a few minutes. I'm just saying, build you up a prayer life. And watch out for the devil's counterfeits. And don't get mixed up in all this new vain repetition. Don't get mixed up. They've even got a brand new definition of meditation. You know, the Bible teaches meditation, doesn't it? How often? Meditate on the law of the Lord. You know what meditation means? Fill your mind with Bible truths. You know what the new definition of meditation is? A blank mind. Empty. Completely empty. Big difference between full and empty. Amen. Folks, you better fill your mind with all the Bible you can. You will need it. And I don't mean 40 years from today. I mean today, or if not today, tomorrow. Fill your mind with all the good things, all the good singing you can get, all the verses, all the preaching that you can. You're going to need it. And beware of all this parapsychology and biofeedback and vain repetition and all these new guys. Rick Warren is one of them, trained by Schuller, very dangerous. Says that old-time Christians are now irrelevant. We don't need you Christians anymore. We don't need you born again. This guy's a Baptist preacher. We don't need you Baptists, you fundamentalists anymore. You standing in the way of the Antichrist. Well, yes we are. Yes we are. All you have to do today is say, I'm saved. You got to be saved. The Bible's the Word of God. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And 99.9% of this religious and political world will say, get out of here. We don't want to hear that. Well, you're going to hear it as long as we're here. Beware of anything new. When you hear the word new in their doctrine or their methods, you know, here it comes. Here it comes. Bunch of baloney. Here it comes. We need some old praying. Amen. Did you know over 50% of the people in America, church-going people, have left the denomination they grew up in? That's an incredible statistic, isn't it? You know why most of them? I don't mean they left churches. I mean they changed denominations. And for some, that's good. If you go from bad to good, that's good. But if you go from good to bad, in the name of convenience, more options, more relaxed, casual, more therapy, more emotions, and less doctrine. Doctrine is boring anymore. I heard a church advertise on radio a while back, and they said this, no doctrine. Proud of it. Come to our church. We won't say anything about the Bible. We'll just have a big time. You think you're at home watching television. We'll just have a little concert. We'll have a little lecture. We'll all just break out our minds and hope we see somebody coming to us in our fantasy. We'll all just home a little bit and have a little Hindu moment. And we'll all just jump. Folks, that's happening in a church near you. So I'm against it. Did you know truth never changes? Did you know that we ought to believe exactly like the Apostle Paul, or if not, he's wrong or we are one? Where did truth change? When did God say, okay, I'm going to change the Bible? Folks, we ought to be as old-fashioned as the Bible. Hello? And I am tired of apologizing for the old past. I'm not going to. And I'm just sick and tired of these people that used to stand for the old past. And I want to say to all of them, we did not leave you. You left us. We're still standing on this book and trying by God's help to stay with the old worship, the old praying, and the old message. I don't think that's too much to ask. I don't think that's unfair. I think if you go to church, you ought to know you've been to church. And if you're not right in your heart, the truth ought to offend you every now and then. Amen. That's right. Some of you would have never got saved if you hadn't been offended by the truth. So I'm closing. Years ago, there was a battle and the flag bearers got way ahead of the regiment. And the flag bearers hollered back to the captain and said, "You want us to bring the flag back to the men?" He said, "No, we'll catch up with you. We'll bring the flag up to the regiment, up to the flag." I think that's what needs to happen in our lives, our families, and churches. We need to catch up with the standard. We need to catch up with the flag. Amen. We need to catch up with Jesus, our standard. Amen. We need to catch up. Folks, we've been so subnormal so long. When we finally get normal, we look like we're abnormal. We need to, the church needs to catch up with the flag. I mean, when was the last time somebody came up to you and just said, "Excuse me, but you've got to be a Christian. You just got Jesus shining all over you. You have got to be. You must be." And if it's because you told them, great, but I like it when they know it and you're not even wearing the bumper sticker. Amen. I mean, you can tell. You can tell. I've gone up to complete strangers in the airport and said, "Excuse me, just want to say hello, brother," because you've got to be a Christian. You've got Jesus all over you. I was in the elevator at a hospital a while back, and I saw a man. I said, "Never seen you before in my life, but how you doing, brother?" Hey, you can't fake the real Jesus. And he said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." He said, "Well, I'm a Baptist preacher." I said, "I knew you was a Christian. I could see. I could tell." You can tell the presence of evil, can't you? Why can't you tell the presence of good and right and purity and truth and righteousness? It's time to rediscover the old. Don't you let one single hour pass in your life. I'm talking to every Christian in this building and outside, every Christian. Don't let one single hour pass but that prayer or praise or both come from your lips and your heart unto God. Amen. Should never be 60 minutes past, but that you at least say, "Lord, you've been good to me." Amen. Did you ever look way up 10 trillion miles and say, "God, you've been good to this old sinner. Lord, I've never missed a meal. Lord, here I am in the Bible Belt. Here I am in a King James Bible. Everybody in my family is saved. Portion of health. Family and friends. Might be on the welcoming committee in the rapture. Getting to live in these days." Folks, these are the most exciting, opportunity-filled days in the history of the... Do you know that? And God lets you be right in the middle. There's nobody in the world's got more Bible knowledge than you do. Do you know that? There's nowhere else where there's so much truth, so many books. Folks, we've got the best radio stations in the world. You ought to be praying for people, praying for lost people, praying and praising and all the time. "Lord, what a beautiful sunrise. Lord, what a beautiful sunset." Amen. Why do we have to be begged and primed and pumped when we ought to be having a conversation with God all the time? Yeah. I tell the Lord at the sunset, "Lord, that's a beautiful sunset. Even a colorblind boy like me knows that's pretty. If I had to tell those colors or die, I'd have to die. I have no clue. But I know that's pretty." Excuse me. "I know that's pretty." If we pray more, we grumble less. If we'd send up 25,000 prayers, maybe we'd have more prayers answered. How can God answer a prayer we don't pray? I was mowing the other day and it started to rain. I just got started mowing. I said, "Lord, just between me and you, I'd like to get this yard mowed today. And Lord, I don't want to have to mow half of it and get rained out and You know what a bother that is? When you come back and you mowed half of it and you got rained out. I said, Lord, if you'll just let me finish, I'll thank you publicly. I mowed, it kept sprinkling, I kept mowing. Never rained hard, just a little sprinkle. I finished mowing, I even got the blower and blowed off everything. And when I was walking back to the house, as I was done, then the heavy raindrops. Believe that or not, I don't care, I was there. God is my witness, the heavy raindrops started. I said, Lord, you did that just for me. You're big enough to do that just for me. I mean, every now and then, pray about something big. But every now and then, if you need 32 cents, ask God for 32 cents. If you need a parking place, ask God for a parking place. That's right. If you were a Muslim, you'd pray 5 times a day, every day. And you wouldn't care who saw you. You'd drop your mat right there 5 times a day, praying to the moon God, Allah. What a waste. Folks, we're talking to the true and living and only God. Amen. What a privilege to come into His presence any minute of any day, talk about everything. Amen. What a privilege! Let's rediscover the old in the matter of prayer.